Okay, my name is Rob Ferguson. It's June 27th. We're in Lexington, Mississippi, at Anderson Feed Store. I'm with Mr. James Anderson. If you would mind introducing yourself.
Yes, I'm James Anderson.
And when and where you're born?
I was born approximately a mile from where I live today, about 8.5 miles out in the country, north of Lexington, on Upper Louisville Road.
Okay.
3847 Upper Louisville Road. And I've lived there. Well, that's been my home since 1937.
Okay.
I moved away, came back. I built a house there in 1960. And I've been in that house since then. And that's where I am today.
So you were born in 1937?
No, I'm
home
away.
Okay.
My daddy bought this land in 1937.
I see. Okay.
He bought 120 acres of land in 1937. I was born in 1927.
Okay.
10-year-old when he bought this land.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, those are big flood years. Did you all, in 37, was Lexington affected by the flood much?
Well, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
It was affected some.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mainly that was the Delta?
Huh?
Mainly that was in the Delta area?
The Delta.
37
was,
flood?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the people in the Delta had to build scaffolds to get to their house. The water was all on their home. And some had to move.
And you said your parents bought the land in 37?
Yeah.
Okay. And about how many acres?
120 acres.
120 acres, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Had they been farm owners before that? Had they rented land? Or?
Yeah, my daddy farmed. He and my mama got large enough to help.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it, you know, it's just some, you had to do something for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it didn't provide much of a living. Mm-hmm. Because if you lived on somebody else's place,
mm-hmm.
you know, they get half straight off the bat,
mm-hmm.
plus whatever you owe comes out of it. And when you get through, you're right back where you started.
Right.
With nothing.
Right.
So you turn around and borrow money on next year's crop.
Mm-hmm.
When you pay up, you're right back in the same spot. You know, wasn't covering no ground.
Huh.
That's the way it was. Most black folks didn't have transportation. Few had their own transportation, but very few had their own wagon.
Right.
Buggy. You were doing good when you had a buggy. So it was tough.
Yeah.
Houses, inaccurate housing. But if you didn't have your own, you had to put up with whatever you lived in.
Right. What was your house like growing up?
Growing up, my house, when my daddy bought this land, the house wasn't up to par.
Mm-hmm.
He added on and repaired whenever he could.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I believe it was in 1953, he moved out on the road.
Okay.
The house way back in there, grader didn't come in there. So we take ply and mules and fix the road.
Yourselves?
Either you couldn't get in or out.
Wow.
Yeah, we fixed our own road.
Sure.
The county didn't. They just, main road, they didn't. They didn't turn out to drive in your drive or nothing.
Right.
And you wouldn't hardly allowed to ask for anything.
And what sort of crops did your parents grow?
We made fairly probably small farmers. Started off small farmers and my daddy ventured out of the, as we got older, and he rent land, rent other land. You know, when you don't have enough help, you have to get help, do your chopping, get help to work that stuff, get help to get it in the fall. You're right back where you start. You're spinning your wheel and ain't getting nowhere.
So in addition to the 120 acres they own, they also rented some land as
yes,
well?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And did they rent out any of the land that they owned to
no.
anybody?
Okay,
so they farmed that themselves.
No, they never rented out any.
Yeah, okay. And about what age did you start helping out in the fields?
You ain't gonna believe
it. Okay.
6 and 7 year old I started. And at 8 I was planting maize. I was running, busting mills, and you know that plow threw me over him, but I had to straighten up and get it right.
Right.
Else my daddy would get my behind.
So at 8 years old you were in the field?
Oh, I was chopping before that,
right.
Yes. I plowed mules.
Yeah.
8, 9.
Yeah. That's sun up, sun down every day?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I plowed reaching up at the plow like this. Okay.
Could barely see over it.
Because you're little, you didn't get no break.
Right.
You just another person. You had to come on like anybody else.
How many mules did your family own at any one time?
Oh, you just had a pair of mules and a horse. My mama, my mama had a buggy and had a horse for the buggy. He had a pair of mules, the farm, all the other stuff. And she peddled a lot.
Okay.
Have a big garden, sell green peas, corn, potatoes, anything that, you know, to make a dollar.
Okay. And that was for the family and to sell?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she always had a yard full of chickens, sale of eggs, and we didn't have the beef cow. We had just regular milk cow.
Yes.
And she sells butter. Mm-hmm. She had more butter than we needed, and she sells milk.
Okay.
You know, she sells whatever she raised, she sells.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's somehow kept the expense down.
Okay.
You know, every dollar we could save, we didn't have to borrow that dollar.
Right.
Because you borrowed it, you had to pay interest on it.
About how many milk cows did you have?
7 or 8.
Okay. And so you got milk from them, made your own butter from them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most of the row crops, were they taken to market somewhere, taken into Lexington to sell? Or?
Well, the row crop itself was just cotton.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, that's it. The corn you raised, you had to feed your stock with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cotton is the only thing you had to sell. Well, you'd have a few peas. You'd sell them, you know.
Right.
That's about all the income you don't get.
Sure. And did you take the cotton to the gym in town?
Yeah.
And that was in Lexington? In town?
Well, they had, gin was plentiful then.
Okay.
People were just moving away. Very few people, these big trails, you didn't see that.
Nope.
You've seen a few wagons and small trails, my daddy took cotton on the way.
Okay.
To the gym.
Okay. And about how far was that each trip?
Well, a man named C.T. Baylor had a gym up here on 17.
Okay.
About 3 or 4 miles out of town. That's where everybody in that community is in there.
Okay.
Or you could go north to Paris had a gin up on up 17 further north. And it was gin here in town.
Okay.
Gin was pretty plentiful because, you know, just mule and wagon had to go. Couldn't go
too far. And besides picking cotton and being behind the mule, what other tasks did you have on the farm when you were growing up?
When it was cotton picking time, I wasn't a big cotton picker, but I'd get all I could get.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, pick cotton, pick peas, pull corn, whatever.
Did you have hogs as well on the farm?
At one time I did. And my daddy one time had quite a few.
Okay. Were your parents from Holmes County?
As far as I know.
Yeah, okay.
They was in Holmes County when I knew them.
Okay. How many siblings did you have?
How many siblings?
Yes, sir.
It was four of us. That was some miscarriage. I think two kids. I'm the oldest alive. I think two or three that miscarried or died, didn't live. And I'm the first one to live. I'm the oldest. And then I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My brother came in 36. And in 37, I got a sister born, and in 39, my baby brother born. Of course, and there was one that born after that didn't live.
Mm-hmm. And they were also involved with doing all the chores?
Yeah.
Did your sisters have different chores than?
Well, the sister, she helped mom in the house.
Yeah.
But when we went to the field, she chopped cotton.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, she did what the boys did sometimes.
Right.
Everybody had to get it.
when you had leisure time, I know that wasn't very often, but what types of things did you all do as a family or as a community or with your friends?
We're at home, my sister and my brother, and we sang a lot, group, you know. And every time they had anything at any church, we had to speak pieces, and, you know. We had to do something, take a part in. And as we grew up, we grew to be, you know, active members. In the church, whatever went on, we was in it. My brother next to me, he was a piano player.
Okay.
Good. And my sister could sing. And guess what? My daddy was a preacher.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was.
Well,
but when you see him in the field, you see him in church Sunday, when you see him Monday morning, you wouldn't think that's him. He'd be whatever had to be done, he's doing.
What denomination was he? Is he
Baptist?
Yeah. And was he at a specific church, or did he travel around?
Well, it was a long time, years before he started pastoring.
Okay.
He became pastor, and he passed quite a few churches throughout home. Yazoo, Carroll County.
Carroll,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He pastored quite a few different churches.
About how old was he when he started pastoring?
I don't know. I don't know. He didn't live to get an old man like I am. But my daddy passed at 67.
Okay.
but he was very active in whatever.
Okay.
Of course, I'm just 83. My birthday, I'm waiting on 84.
Okay. Let's see. I was gonna ask you about. So did you and your brothers and sister grow up going to church?
Oh yeah, you better you go. Yes, sir. You have to go. If nobody asked you, did you want to go? Get ready and let's go. that was it. You knew when you got up you had to go.
Right.
Yes, sir. You wish you had a win if you didn't.
Was that every Sunday? Plus, did you go certain nights of the week or just Sundays?
Yeah, well, it was different than it is now.
Okay.
They'd have prayer meetings during the week. Mm-hmm. When coming up to revival, they'd have 2 weeks of prayer meetings before the revival. So everybody's fired up when you get to the revival itself. It wasn't like it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
How often was revival?
Well, spring and May fall revival. But like I said, now we just go into revival, have revival. Mm-hmm. Back then, you'd have 2 weeks prayer service ahead of the revival. Everybody get primed up.
We're going to just move across the store for a second. I'm going to pause it. Okay. So church was a regular thing for you and your family. Yes, sir.
I never was asked, did I want to go?
Right.
Let's go.
Right. So during revival, was it several churches coming together?
No, it would just be a particular church.
Okay.
You know. Because he wasn't pastoring then. When he was pastoring, you know, wherever the church was, he had to go there.
Okay. Did the church sponsor big community-wide picnics?
No, not really.
No.
Back then, they had what you call Children Day across the summer. Like children from every church would come. You have it here this Sunday, and you go over yonder the next Sunday. But all the churches, surrounding churches, the children would have it be saying speeches and singing, whatever, you know, and you find a lot of talent in those coming together, and sometimes they'd be the best to be rewarded something, you know, to encourage them to do better. Yeah.
And so when you and your brothers and sister were singing at home, you were singing spirituals and gospel songs?
Nothing, yeah, you better not.
Yeah. Your neighbors growing up, they were all farmers as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you have both black and white neighbors?
No.
Just black neighbors? Or, yeah. Okay. Was there a sense of community amongst your neighbors? It was a pretty tight-knit, neighbors helping each other out during harvest season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The people wouldn't like the other now.
Yeah.
If, say for instance, a farmer got sick, or his wife got sick, and he wasn't able to go to the field because he had to see to his wife, those farmers would come together, old community, and whatever, they'd break his land and plant it in one day. It'd be that many of them.
Wow.
People cooperated. They worked together. You got sick, if you had a sick person in your house, they set up with you all night. This one stayed the night, one another one stayed. People act like they love one another, I think. You, you, you got the feeling that people actually care,
right,
for one another.
Yeah.
I can remember my mama being sick, and I'd go to bed and go to sleep. I'd wake up, and people who were there when I went to sleep, be still sitting. If she was real sick, they sitting right by our bed, somebody fanning, somebody, whatever.
Right. I know that some people call those death watches. Is that what you called them? Or?
It didn't necessarily have to be, but when it got to that point, that the doors were never closed at that house.
Wow.
People of the community would be there. You know, other than what I'm trying to tell you, people share in whatever situation it was.
Yeah.
You know, if I can remember back then, it would come time to kill hog, and my mama, when we start cutting up that meat, she'd give me a bag, and I'd go drop this off at Aunt Sally's house, go on over yonder and all the way around, just all I could care. Sometime I might be riding a horse and care. And if I, when that person killed hog, they do the same thing. But now, you see a smoke behind the house, you don't know what's going on. The hog killing go off, you ain't gonna know nothing about it.
Right.
People live neighborly then.
Yeah. How many families are we talking about in your community?
Oh, people knew one another from church, mm-hmm. in different churches. It wasn't no limit. If I knew a person, you know, take this over to Brother So-and-so's house.
Right.
But when Brother So-and-so killed, he'd do the same thing.
Yeah. And that extended to borrowing tools and... for the field?
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough in those days.
Yeah.
And without one another's help, they wouldn't have made it.
Right.
My mama had greens in the garden. Another neighbor didn't. The neighbor never knew the difference because her mama was going to send me and carry something. You know, they shared.
Yeah. Did your folks have to rent, did they own the mule or have to rent the mule when you were young?
My daddy bought his, he was renting the land, he bought. Okay. He had work now on sharecropping,
mm-hmm.
while you, the main boss man, saying. Mm-hmm. But then when he rented, he had to buy his own. And, you know, something happened, but they neighbors, like I said, neighbors to share.
Yeah, right.
Your mule ain't able to work, you sick, something happened to him, come on and get one of mine.
Right.
If people were like they were then, this world wouldn't be in the shape it's in.
Yes, sir.
They cared, they shared with one another, they cared for one another.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's one reason I study history. I'd like to see more of that today.
I would love to see folks caring for one another.
Yeah.
You know, we go to church and we say we're Christian, but we don't show much Christianity. You know, shake hands and good, glad to see you, but, you know, that's it.
Right. Let's see. So you said that you moved away for a few years and came back. Is that right?
Yes, I went to Milwaukee, Michigan, Wisconsin, and stayed about now almost 2 years.
In Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I never was a city boy.
Yeah.
I couldn't take the city. I came back, bought me a pulpwood truck, and started hauling pulpwood.
Okay. And that's when you became a truck farmer? When you came back?
Well, let me go back. My daddy had a truck.
Okay.
And we logged. We hauled pulpwood and we hauled logs. Whatever. I had to do something to make a living. And then when I came back from Milwaukee, I bought me and Pupwood truck, bought it from Weatherby Chevrolet. And I think I paid something like $700 and something for that truck.
About when was that?
That was in 53.
Okay.
All Pupwood, all log, if I could find something. Had to make a living some kind of way.
Right. Why did you move up to Milwaukee from
Well, at first I did work. I worked for Lewis Grocery Company. I was a hell of a truck driver.
You said Lewis Grocery?
Lewis Grocery, you ever heard tell him?
I haven't.
You hadn't?
No.
Okay, Lewis Grocery was here in Lexington. They used to have a store across over next to the post office over there.
Okay.
And then they had a bigger store in Durant.
Okay.
And then the big business was in the north.
Huh.
And they made their own Lewis fried flour,
uh-huh,
and fried meal, stuff like that. And I worked for Lewis Grocery, and I was the I drove one of the big trailers that hauled stuff in. You didn't go empty though. You left here going to New Orleans. You left with 40,000 pounds of groceries.
Wow!
And then you deliver that on the way to New Orleans. Then when you get to New Orleans, you get a load and you come back. Or if it's too late, you stayed all night. He'd pay for your hotel room.
Okay.
But if you come back the same day, he paid you for your entire hour.
Huh.
I worked for him a while.
And so that's what you did? You hauled down to
I hauled forever.
All over, yeah.
I hauled forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the furthest trip that you'd make?
I went up in Tennessee a couple of times.
Wow. Okay.
That was, well, because these trucks, the big trailers, all the others were Bob trucks.
Mm-hmm.
These trailers haul the stuff into a warehouse over Durant, and the store here in Lexington go get that stuff from the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the NOLA, they had a meal, you know, that made the flour, made the meal over there. Sack that, but we go to Louisiana and get the sugar. That's the biggest I hauled,
yeah.
Sugar. 300 pound sacks. Yeah.
So that, so that got you up to Wisconsin, or?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
What happened was the boss man put me on a haul to all the stores. I had to get supply them all with sugar. And, you know, every one of this big store. And for a solid week, I didn't go home. I unload that store and head back to New Orleans. Load that, take that somewhere else to another store and head back to New Orleans.
Wow.
My wife didn't hear tell of me a whole week. And so when I come in, the big boss was there. And he didn't want to pay me for the hours I had. And I told him, you told me that if I go and come, didn't stop, didn't stay in the hotel, that I got paid for it, my hours till I got back. Yeah, but you got too many hours. I said, I put them in. I worked. I said, sometime I ought to have been asleep, but I rolled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he wasn't going to pay me. I said, well, boss, we won't be, I won't be working for you no more.
Right.
I quit. And I had a cousin come from Milwaukee, Wisconsin that weekend. And when he went back, I went with him.
Really?
Yeah. And I went back and I stayed almost 2 years in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I couldn't take that city.
Yeah. Were you trucking up there as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't do any trucking up there. I worked in the factory.
Okay.
I'm sure you something about that factory. The last place I worked was Steel, A. O. Smith Steel.
Okay.
We were building frame for the automobile. And if you notice, you don't see that now. If you notice some of them old cars, they had a big bar that the spring sit on,
sure.
And your wheels fasten on to, and that, you know, that allowed it to do this. Well, that, it takes some time with that big bar. You make it in two or three pieces. And they was paying us like four something an hour if you made so many. And we, it was your two men in the place, had two machines, were slow. And only two men in that place, we make four something an hour. I was one of them. I could, every time one come down to shoot, I was waiting on it. Everybody else, shoot pile of them, you have to shut down until they catch up. They had another guy in there, I thought he was my uncle, he's a great big stout guy. Two of us, anybody else on that machine, you go back to $2 or $3 an hour. But when he and I run it, we make four something higher. But we working.
Yeah.
And okay, shortly after about a month, I went there over about a month before they called for a layoff. And they come around and tell all us, Friday may be your last day working in this plant. You either be transferred or laid off. Well, I was told that because I hadn't been there all that month.
Right.
I said, Lord have mercy. I just got here making some money now here. I'm going to be laid off. Come around, I didn't get a layoff slip. The reason was how I ran that machine. And they had union there. Okay, next week or so, guy come around and say, you won't be working, you either be transferred or laid off. You won't be working in this plant after Friday.
Right.
Everybody come by, people getting layoff slip, I didn't give them. I hadn't been there nothing like 6 months. People laid off 6 months was the first one got the slip. People laid off a year, got the next slip. People laid a year and a half, got the next slip. I'm still here. People got 2 years, got the next slip. And the only reason they had to let me go then, the union caught on for what was going on. So I had to go.
The union got you fired?
Yeah. Well, you worked according to how much time you've been there, you know.
Oh.
See, and I come in, I left there with 3 months.
Right.
And I suppose it went the first month.
I see.
Then the union found out about it, and they told me I had to go. Oh, they knew what I was doing. They didn't have nobody else there to do it.
Right.
And they kept me. They kept me in there.
Yeah.
And I was glad.
Sure. So were you ever a member of that union? Or
huh?
Were you ever a member of that union? Excuse me.
No, I never was a member.
Okay.
I got kicked out.
Yeah. Right. So then you came back.
Yeah, after laid off, and I swore I wasn't going to come back to get to no job at all again.
Sure.
I left to come home.
Okay. And you bought the truck?
I bought the truck. Started hauling purple.
And when did you buy the land that you started farming?
Well, the land I'm on right now is the land my daddy
left
us. I never bought any land.
Sure.
I rented land and farmed.
Okay.
Yeah, I farmed pretty big, but I, you know what? I worked a job and worked 40 acres of cotton. I'd come off that job, I'd take the car and go to work. My family in the field, the tractor, choppers, what have you. When I come from work, I get them the car, And I get on the track and I run it to 11 o'clock at night. Go to work in the morning, work right with the rest of the folks. Come back the same thing that evening. At night, I run to 11 o'clock at night. You know what? I work myself to the point I have many nights. My wife would have sat there to see that I didn't go to sleep. I'd go to sleep with my hand in my plate. But I had to take care of the kids somewhere.
Sure. Yes, sir.
And how many children?
10.
You had 10, living. That's right. Henry was, told me he was one of 10.
Yeah.
And they all worked on the farm as well?
They did.
Yeah.
They better.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so you planted cotton, you took your cotton to gin
yeah,
as well.
I gin it can't call the man's name, up they come where I gin it. Okay. Well, if I know that man, I can't call the man. It's an old gin shed sitting there.
Okay.
Now, when you go in that car, why that's the gray markers is sitting over there.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go in this car, you know, see this building, old building sitting there, that's part of the old gin.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. That's why I gin my cotton.
Okay. Did you feel like you got a fair deal, like all the other farmers, or you
well,
were ginning?
As fair as I could expect, you know.
Yeah. When you rented land as well, did you rent from other black farm owners, or mainly was it white farm owners you rented from?
No, I rented the land. I rented from a white guy.
Okay, was that a good working relationship, or was it?
Yeah. I have no problem with it.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, I paid him his money.
Okay.
He didn't have no problem.
Right. What about relationships with like Ag Extension? Did you have any
like what?
The Ag Extension workers, the Extension Service, any working relationship with them?
No.
No dealings with them?
No.
Okay. What about the AAA? Ever
AAA,
any,
no.
No dealings with them either? Okay.
I forgot the name. It was a company in Greenwood.
Not Staples.
No, okay. Not Staples. They would let me have as much money as I wanted. I didn't pay them, but I couldn't ask them for too much.
Oh.
Because I paid every year. I never owed them a dime that I, you know, for next year.
So they knew your credit.
I didn't have a dime left, I paid them.
Huh. This was a loan company?
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost got it then. It's some sort of credit union.
Okay, so not through the government.
No.
It's privately owned.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I borrowed money from them, and that's where I bought my first, well, not the first tractor. Yes, I did. I bought my first tractor. That tractor went bad, and they told me to go wherever I wanted to find one. I went to picking, got me an A. John Deere. Man, I thought I was on top of the world. They give me a check to pay for it.
Wow, so that was your second tractor?
Yeah.
John Deere.
Yeah.
What was your first?
The first was a John Deere, but it was okay. a B.
Yeah.
Little John Deere.
Yeah.
But I had me an A, I'm ready now.
What year was that when you bought that tractor?
That was like in 60s.
Okay.
It was in the '60s.
Okay.
Because I worked for, you know, Harden Irvin got the ready mix down here?
I don't know.
Well, that's for his son.
Okay.
I worked for the old man.
Okay.
That's why I worked in the day. Okay. I drove truck or whatever for him.
Right.
And I left there and go home. Go to the field. I didn't go home.
Okay.
I get on that tractor. I had lights on. I run that tractor till 11, sometimes 12 o'clock. Come home, my wife fixed my food, and I start eating. She'd have to wake me up, go to sleep with my hand on the plate. Get up next morning, go on at it again.
Did you take over all the operations on the farm from your father, or did some of your siblings also take over?
That first tractor, he and I bought it together.
Okay.
And he just went out and he just gave me his share in it.
Okay.
But it was kind of old, and it went out right in main planting time. I had to have something. I bought me a 70 John Deere, the baddest thing I ever had. Man, you couldn't do nothing with me. Power stone. That 70, what an A do? That 70 didn't count. 70 John Deere is a bad tractor.
Yeah.
I wish I had me one today. I was a bad boy with a 70 John Deere.
I have to ask, were tractor pulls popular? I never
been in one of them.
Okay.
No.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
All right.
How you doing?
All right.
I'm Rob Ferguson.
Hey, young
Anthony
man.
Adams.
Nice to meet you, Anthony.
Mr.
That's,
Adams.
That's
how you doing?
Grandson right here.
Very nice to meet you. I'm meeting a lot of the family.
Yes, sir. You having a conversation with a wise man now.
I can tell. I know it.
Yeah. Naturally, he would say that. I'm his grandson.
Well, right. Well, we got
all
the
grandchildren.
Got it on tape, so
all grandchildren official. Think the granddad is great.
That's right. I know I got the great.
Let's see. But you got out of farming eventually.
I got out of farming. I hardly remember how I done it. I just quit. I quit. The last tractor I had was a 14. Tony! Oh,
yes,
I can't call. What size tractor that Roy got when I let him have?
1466.
Right.
That was your last one?
That was my last one. I sold it to my son-in-law.
Okay.
That was a bad track.
Yeah. so this was in the 80s when you got out of farming, or later?
Yeah. Well, I didn't do much farming, not a whole lot. I don't know what I did, but I used that track. Raised a few beans, corn, stuff like that. I didn't go with food with cotton.
Yeah.
And I bought that tractor over there, bells on it. And kept it a couple of years. My son-in-law was using it, cutting hay. He was coming in one evening with a hay bale behind it. And it blew a pistol. Went out the side.
So that was that.
He said, Papa, I'm gonna get it running. I don't know what it is. So he bought an old thing, just something to get me going. And he officially put it in there. I said, Roy, no, we ain't going up like that. He said, you can go on this for, I'm gonna take it from there. Went to the part house. Bought everything new to go in. See, it got them sleeves. When you put sleeves in one, it's just like brand new.
Okay.
New piston. That piston got new sleeves to run in. And I had new sleeves put in, new piston, new everything. And it's still running today.
Wow.
It's still getting today.
Yeah. Going back a little bit, did your parents, did they, make a big deal out of education for you and your siblings? Did they push you to school?
That's the sad thing. That we kids, but it don't happen now. We kids had to help get that crop out the field.
Yeah.
And there've been many times when it was a test going on. I had to chop cotton. I couldn't go to school. I had to help with that crop.
Right.
Or if you're picking cotton, I had to go to field.
Right.
I missed some tests. You know, I think I'm a pretty smart scholar, but if you don't get the opportunity,
right,
you know, you can only go so far. I think I did good for what I had to work with.
Sure.
But start get, come springtime, my dad started fielding with it. Bushes would grow up in the field and they cut those sprouts and get them out the field. Well, I had to come, miss school, I had to come home and cut them sprouts, head of their fly. And then they started planting, I had to tote fertilizer, I had to tote seeds. I missed a lot of school.
Yeah.
But when I went, I got what I was supposed to get.
Right.
I didn't back down. And math was my best study.
Math?
Yes. I could read pretty good and do all that other stuff, but math was my main subject.
You know that gentleman right there?
How are you, Mr. Anderson?
All right, how you doing?
All right.
Can't
do. All right, that's all right. Good to see you. were your parents ever involved in was your father actually involved in any fraternal organizations, like Masons or anything like that around here?
He was a Mason.
He was a Mason?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mama was an Eastern Star.
Oh, Eastern Star. Were a lot of people of their generation in your community members?
Well, it was kind of a family thing. My daddy was a Mason.
Okay.
And daddy's mama was an Eastern Star. So that was kind of family thing.
Family thing, sure. Okay.
All his brothers were Mason.
Do you think that, did that give them any sort of, social or political standing in the community?
I don't know about that. They never took it as, you know, they were just ordinary people.
And, right.
And that's all you could get out of them. They wasn't going to be nothing but ordinary people, don't care what.
So did they ever get involved in politics or anything like that?
Well, my daddy didn't. I did. I ran for supervisor.
Okay.
And I've been on the school board for 22 years. I'm in my 23rd year of school board.
Wow. Okay.
I ran for supervisor. I missed that. And I ran for the school board. I ran against a highly educated woman, but I beat her. When I come up for re-election, I had three people running against me. That's hard. You got three people running against you, and you got to get 50% plus one.
Right.
I got it.
What do you think got you involved in politics? How did you get interested in it?
Well, I don't know. Like I say, I ran for supervisor because
right.
we wasn't getting what we deserved, and the road wasn't being worked. And we just wasn't getting. That's a big challenge running back then. A black man running against a white man.
Was it in the
60s?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was in the 70s.
Okay.
71. 71.
Okay.
I ran a good race.
You won the first one?
No, I didn't. I lost.
Okay.
And then what happened? My daddy got hurt. my daddy got shot, and he couldn't. I had to get out of the race to see to him. I was in there, but you know, campaigning, you had to get out there and stay.
Right.
Well, daddy come for you.
Sure.
And I had to. My sister and brothers all up north. He had to be lit now. He weighed 270 pounds. And there wasn't nobody else to do it but me. So I think if I had been able to vote all my time, I believe I'd have made it.
When did you first register?
For the race?
No. When did you? You said if you had been able to vote the whole time?
No, I mean if I had been able to.
To be in the race the whole time?
Yeah. You know, put him over into the race. But I had daddy to come first. I had to see him.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the 60s, do you remember, you know, people involved in the civil rights movement in town? Or was that something that came later? Or
what?
People involved in the civil rights movement. Do you remember them in town?
Of course.
Yeah.
I was in.
You're involved. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was getting around to.
Well, it wasn't an easy thing. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to improving and moving up, you can't sit on the sideline and move.
Yes, sir.
You know, if it means better, you just have to tighten your belt and do it. So, I was living out there on that country road. Had a bridge going into my house. Bridge broke in. I asked my supervisor for lumber to fix it with, and he said, I don't have it. But I'd see the truck putting in box covers and what have you at other places. And I asked for a box cover. I don't have one. Yet I'd pass places where they're putting them in, you know. So I decided to run. I said, you don't have to worry about mine. When I get elected, I put my own in.
How many times did you run for
I didn't. I just run that one time for supervisor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were there many black officials in Lexington at the time?
There was very few.
Yeah.
In fact, that same year, I know you don't heard of Representative Robert G. Clark.
Yes, sir.
First representative.
Yes, sir.
He
from
and
Chula
I.
Lexington. Is he from Chula?
No, he's from here.
Okay, okay. I couldn't remember. Okay.
But Chula was in his area, in his district. We campaigned together when I was running for supervisor.
Okay.
Yeah. That man, I've said, me and him used to get talking. And, my wife wouldn't know where I was. His wife didn't know where he was. And my wife would call his wife and say, do you know where them two men is? And she said, no. And his wife would call my wife, you heard anything? I was close. Me and that man were close.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
From what I understand, from what I understand, he was a good man.
Great man.
Very good man.
Great man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Do you know if your parents ever registered to vote?
My parents?
Yes.
Yeah, they registered.
They did register.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said your father died in the late 60s, right? Your father died in the late 60s? Is that right?
No, my father died in 72.
72. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. And your mother lived on after that. Okay.
Yeah, Mama died in 83.
Okay. So when you were younger, were they registered or did it come much later?
We all registered at the same time.
Really?
Well, we registered, we had to have fellow people to come here and see us register. We weren't allowed to go in there. You had to have fellow marshals went in there with you.
So you went with your parents, you registered
the same day? Yes, sir.
How did you feel when you registered to vote? How do you think your parents felt?
You know what? I feel like a man.
Yes, sir.
That's something I had never had the opportunity to do before. It was you know, you're taking a chance. Mm-hmm. But your future was taking a chance. If you're going to ever be anything, or ever move up, or ever be anybody, you got to take chances. And, but one thing I learned this, make sure however hard you had to fight and whatever people done, make sure you treat people right. Nobody could ever say James Allen miss you. That's a fact. My daddy taught me that. And that's been I teach my children. Do right, whatever. Whatever the cost is, make sure you do what's right.
Well, I know this won't be a surprise, but when I interviewed your son on Thursday, he said almost the exact same thing. And you say you learned that from his father.
that's
good to hear.
Yeah, it was 10 of them. We had to get it. I had to get it. They had to get it.
Right.
Yes, sir. My oldest boy, I was working for Ford Construction. He was on that 8 John Deere, what I was telling you about. And that long bottom road, longest from here. Road longest from here to Fred, Dollar Store.
Okay. Wow. And that's a ways.
I was working for Ford Construction, and I had him on that tractor. And I come in the evening, and that tractor, I come in at the upper end, and he at the low end. That boy done let that tractor get away from him. I don't see him. He's so little. He's so little, I couldn't see him down there. Oh, that boy done fell off that tractor. He's behind it, though.
Yeah, that's a big piece of land.
Yes.
Here at the dollar store, that's...
That wasn't my land. I rented that land.
That's the land you rented? Okay. Yeah. Is that a mile from here to the dollar store? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
About a mile from here to the dollar store?
Sure.
It's the one down the hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe a little less than a mile?
I don't know if that's less than a mile.
Yeah, okay. Still, that's a good size piece of land to farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you... we're talking about the civil rights movement and voting. Do you feel that owning land, your parents owning land, gave you any sort of additional protection politically? Or?
Well, at least it did this for me. You know you had a place to stay. You living in another man's house. And he just come dissatisfied. Something you didn't do right, and he asked for his out. You may have to pile that stuff side of the road somewhere, but you got to get it out.
Right.
So, when you're in your own house, at least you feel secure.
Right.
Yeah.
Conversely, do you feel like anybody was targeted because they own land? You know, somebody wanted their land and threatened them or anything like that?
Well, I don't know about that, but... you know, those who was active in the movement, they was targeted.
Yeah.
We all were.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Were you directly threatened to yourself?
Well, what they do at night, you lay down, you hear somebody on your porch, you don't know what to do. They'll call you, they'll shoot you down. You don't know whether they're going to set the house on fire, you know. You lived in fear. And I remember one night, my daddy was passing the church up in the hills out there. And he was gone out there to a meeting. And my house is about as far from the end of the bank from my mama, from my mama's house. She was there by herself. And these guys pulled up down to my uncle's house. And I was laying down. And then one of them said he was shooting a plug shotgun. Plug with two, three shots. Pulled up right in front of his door. Shot three times. Boom, boom, boom.
Into the door? Sorry, in front of the
door. Over the house.
In front of the door, okay.
You know, you run out, they line to shoot you.
Right.
And he reloaded and did it again. Bow, bow, bow. I done made it on my porch and I'm listening. And then they cranked up. And they come up the road. And sometimes they come up the road by the short bend, they turn and go back. I stood there waiting that night. They come up and driving 6'7" or 6'4" with the muffler off. We had this country alarm up. And so I was looking out my window. We didn't have shades. You know, we'd hang a curtain or hang a sheet or something over the window. And I thought maybe he was gonna slow it up. He was gonna turn around and go back. When he made that curve, he tightened up, coming on. And I already got my .22 rifle. And when I come around the foot of the bed, the lights were shining on me. They had to see me. And I made it to the front door. He just cracked the door and said, wait. He slowed up. And I thought he was going to stop. But then he tightened up and went on up to my mama. Now, I know mama there by herself. So I had my wife that automatic rifle, and I got my pistol, okay. And I went up the road. There were three guys in that truck. I can see them right now. And what they do, they drive up in front of your house and shoot the home. If you come to the door, that's why they shoot you down. So they drove up there and cut the lights off, cut the truck off, cut the lights off. And they didn't know I was standing right behind the truck, looking at all three of them through the back of that. And they toot the horn. Hum, hum, hum. See, you hear that? If you come to the door, that was it. I knew Mama was there by herself. I just standing there waiting. Nobody come. She didn't have no light in the house, but she raised the shade. And she was trying to see who it is, but they couldn't see her. Hit the horn again, bump, bump, bump. Nobody showed up. And they ain't had no idea that I'm standing right at the back of the truck. And they did it a few times. He said, it must not be nobody there. Let's go ahead. They pulled off. And when they pulled off, I called Mama to make sure she was all right. Mama, you all right? She said, yeah, boy, you was out there? I said, I was standing right behind the truck. They didn't know I was there. And, you know, just, the good Lord is with us. I've been some chatter. But, you know, we made it.
Sure. Did you recognize the man?
I knew the truck, but I didn't know the people. I didn't know.
So they were from around here, and they were local.
Here in Lexington, town of Lexington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anybody at the time you could report that to, or is just...
Was what?
Anybody at the time that you could report that to, or it was just something that you had to deal with on your own?
You didn't get much help.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I said.
Sure. Oh, no, I understand.
You didn't get much help.
Yeah.
And that's why so many had to go on their own. You know, you're on your own, you know, I can't help you.
Was it your brother who was a police officer?
My uncle.
Your uncle, okay.
What do you call him? That's the man you're talking about, his father.
Roy Anderson's father.
That was my dad's brother.
Okay, your dad's brother, okay, okay. But he was only a black police officer in town for a long time, right?
For a while, he was the first black.
Right, right.
And, you know, certain things, certain places, he was, growing, and he, that's, you know, he had a limit to what he could do. Otherwise, you do what you told you to.
Right.
Were your parents supportive of you being involved in the movement and getting involved in politics?
My mama never did anything, but my dad was involved in that. He was in it.
He was, okay.
Marching or whatever, yeah. He was right there.
Yeah.
My wife never did go much, but me and my daddy went. I was his oldest. We stand shoulder to shoulder, and he supported me in whatever I do, and I support him. That was my daddy. It ain't many daddies like.
That's great. Let me look, see if what other questions I might be skipping here. Let's see. Did your mother or your wife get involved in the home demonstration club? No. Okay. 4-H, anything like that? Any of your
no,
children?
No.
Okay. I try to ask this of everybody that I talk to, when several years, 20, 30, 40 years, when the next generation is listening to this interview, what would you want them to know about what owning land meant to you and your family, what the land meant to you and your family?
Well, to me, owning land is like having money in the bank. You don't know what it means then. Have a home that nobody can put you off until you have lived in a house. People come to you, be gone in the morning. And you got no place to go. I've had that to happen.
Yes, sir.
I load up and park at my daddy's house, and the next day I find a house somewhere. Been told you have to go. So when you get your own home, that's a night you can't sleep for having the flashes run over. You know,
right.
You feel like, otherwise, you feel like you're really a grown man.
Right.
When you can own your own house, it makes you feel like a different person. I don't know about anybody else. It don't drive nothing to my head why I act a fool. But I learned to appreciate it.
Sure.
I learned to appreciate it.
What do you think now your grandchildren are here. I mean, do you think there's a legacy there that,
Well, I have to say, like I said, my daddy, we did things trying to move up. It's been in the blood for a long time.
Right.
This is something I hadn't mentioned to you. In 1970, 71, 2, I managed the first black stove. Bunch of people come together, put up money, and bought a store, named it Community Pride. And I was the first manager. And when I went into that store, they had $1,400 worth of stock. They had very little money in the bank. I could write one check a week. Lewis Grocer was where you get your cheapest grocery.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from in the nose. You had to buy at least $1,000. So those most important things, I bought it from Lewis Grocer. I could only write one check a week. Within 3 months, you understand? I said $1,400 worth of groceries, the $14,000 groceries,
right.
And I took it over.
Right.
3 months' time, I had a $20,000 stock in this stuff.
In community pride.
In community pride.
Right.
And I could write a check whenever I needed. No limit on me. I could buy what I wanted. But I stayed there a little over a year. And people got why they didn't appreciate what I was doing. Everybody else at that store, when dinner time comes, there's one state of cash register and they run. Everybody go eat the dinner. They sell sandwiches in that store. I bought me a sandwich and I went straight through. I didn't have no break period. I worked from the time I turned that key till I turned it back.
Right.
And I'd eat with a sandwich in my hand. And one of the people who was putting up, helping put up the money for this store came in one day during 12 o'clock. And I was sandwich in my hand and I'm marking up or doing something. And she said, the lady said, just reading this store can't make no money. The damn manager eating up the profit. I give it to him. I really give it to him. It went down. Oh. I brought it up. In 3 months' time, I could only write a $1,000 check. And that was it. And I could write a check for, well, no limit, whatever I needed.
Right.
And I had $20,000 in the bank. Instead of 14.
How long did the store last?
Not long. About a year after I left.
What was the only one branch? Or was
no, the store same? Had community pride was over different counties.
Okay.
But they was it was one connection.
Okay.
You know, what they done since we wasn't up in handling the business. They hired a manager.
Uh-huh.
That manager, I don't know what, 14 or 15 stores, something
okay.
like that. And he went from store to store.
Okay.
And he checked your markup. Sometime make you change your prices and
okay.
whatever. And he'd go around and check all your stock, make sure everything was right.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd check or go over your paper and everything.
Did you know a Miss Fanny Booker?
Of course I did.
You did? Okay.
Oh, man. She told me that house out there where she died, she told me she wanted me, said she didn't have no children.
Right.
If me and my wife would take her when she got old and promised to keep her till she passed away.
You looked after
her? That she would make will that house to me. But me and my wife too tied up, I didn't want to do something, half do it.
Sure.
That's why I couldn't do what I wanted to do for her, and I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Fanny Booker worked like, oh, just like that. Sure did. It's something I ain't told you. In 72, I started driving trucks for J.J. Fuller. He had a plant, asphalt plant, gravel plant, gravel crusher, washer.
What was his last name? Ford?
Ferguson.
Ferguson, oh, okay.
J.J. Ferguson. You ain't heard of
him? I'm not related to him.
Anyway, I started driving truck for him in 72, in October of 72.
Okay.
And I drove truck for that man 7 years. And he made me truck foreman after 7 years.
Okay.
I was truck foreman for 2 years, and he made me superintendent. I ran that business down there for him. The longest any man had ever been there was 3 years. I ran 16 years.
Did you retire from there?
Well, I didn't retire. I quit. what happened? We had shut this plant down. I was been working out of Greenwood.
Okay.
And that particular day, that wasn't my job, but I whatever come up if they needed me, I'd pinch hit for somebody.
Okay.
I was escorting a load of beans. Mm-hmm. A truck, anytime a truck got over 80 feet, I believe it is, they have to be escorted. And that we had 110 feet beans. And I was following the second truck and going up by what the name of the place up in where the casinos is. Going up 61, going up.
Not Greenwood.
You go, now you go, like you're going to. Ooh, my head ain't right now.
Up in the Delta? Is
that yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the town either.
Okay. It was a lady sitting at the thing, waiting. She didn't see nothing but that truck. And that truck passed just as it passed. The tail of it passed. She followed the tail of it right in my path. And we locked up and both car and two pickups. We went out in the field for a minute in front of that building over here. And both cars were jammed together. She couldn't get out and I couldn't get out. And I got my neck broke.
You broke your neck?
Mm-hmm. And that was the end of my work.
Sure.
But I worked with that man 32 years.
Wow.
J.J. Fogel.
Okay.
And he used to have meetings once a year. Where he'd call all the superintendents in and bring all of them, or anybody in management, they brought them all in. And it was myself, at first, my son got to be out on the road, and he used to come. But it was the guy in charge, Phillips. We were the first two black to be in there. And JJ, every year, he made them have a whole less spot for me. I had to do the prayer when we come together. It was only two blacks there. And then finally my son was added on. And three of us there. And he would allow nobody to do the prayer but me.
I don't think I realized that Miss Booker died in Lexington. She used to live near Chula, right?
She lived in that area.
Yeah. She was involved with the Providence Farm up there.
Yeah. But when she got just a house. Right when you go down the hill from what, the International Place used to be, and you start up that other hill, the brick house that's sitting next to the road. You start up that hill. That was her house.
Okay. And she had a museum or something, but I hear that museum
is it was out anymore. Back. No, it wasn't. Her house was right here, and the museum was right on the same side of the road.
But it's not there anymore?
The building is there.
Right.
I don't think nothing in there.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's too bad. I've been reading about that museum. I hope I...
Her church was Sweetwater Church out in the country. And JJ gave me that authority. They decided to break that church. We were making mason sand down there. And I gave her a load of mason sand to do the brick. This church up here, my daughter-in-law used to be a member of. They had a pretty big size church. They did brick there. I put a dump a load at the front and one at the back. Yeah, two loads. Cost them nothing. All the gravel around that church, I put it there. JJ told me anything the church won't let them have.
That's right. And
And she was pretty involved in the movement as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
What I thought. And with the Community Pride stores. Was she involved with the Community Pride stores too?
She was, yeah, somewhat.
I read about that through her.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know much about the Providence Farm up around Chula? Ever hear much about it?
I never did go up there. I didn't know too much about it.
That was all gone by the 50s or 60s, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Was there anything else I didn't ask you that about farming or about the land or anything like that you want to add?
Well, you just about got my history.
Okay.
I think most important thing that I've told you about. Wherever somebody's fighting for justice, you find me there. I believe every man and woman ought to have freedom to go and come, live, do what they want to do. I stand for that. I think regardless to how high a man get, I'll never get too high, or you can't treat people right. Give everybody their fear. The Lord knows I want my fear. I will not trample on the nation. That's one thing that I would never take from the individual. Freedom of choice, freedom to speak, freedom to act. An individual deserves it. And I said this and then I'm through. There's one thing I'm proud of. My record, anybody know me? You know, I don't know of doing misusing nobody. Now you got hell on wheels if you misuse me. I stand on that.
Sure.
I think every man ought to have that.
Thank you for talking to me.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Okay.